This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome to New Beginnings. And with us right now is Mr. Joe McKenzie as we kick off this weekend show. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. If you'd like to reach Joe McKenzie, you can. You can find him at rippleconnects.com and also by telephone at 763-438-1621. I know I said that rapidly, 763-438-1621. Joe McKenzie, good morning and welcome.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. And I'm really excited about the topic because I believe it really speaks to a lot of people. And as we look at what we're talking about this week, changing careers after 50, I know that that speaks to a lot of folks in our audience. As we look at changing careers after 50, what are some of the advantages of changing careers after you reach age 49 into 50?
I think one of the biggest advantages, you've learned who you are as a professional, some of the transferable skills, some of the leadership qualities that you have, your collaborative approach to solving things. And I think at the age of 50, we better understand ourselves and how we can impact the world even better than we were, say, at 30. Do you agree with that statement, Freddie?
I think so. Some of the the best part of my career has been after I turned 50. That's not to say that I didn't enjoy things when I was much younger, but there seems to be more of a richness now that I've passed that age of 50.
Do you attribute that to knowing where you can be most impactful and where and what you're doing?
Not necessarily. I think that part of it has to be that I'm just grateful that somebody would hire someone who is 50 or over.
But they saw something in you to be able to plug you in to get the results that they needed, right?
Yes. They clearly saw something that must have worked for them, and I'm grateful for that. And I'd pose that same question to you. I know you're a ripe old age of 47 years old.
Thank you. You're kind. You're so kind.
So how does it work for you in your career?
Well, I think when I approached the 50 years old, just a few years back, I realized where I was at my best, and that was kind of a culmination of, you know, where I was in the professional world, but also the combination of my volunteer experience. By volunteering on boards of directors, I realized that I could help move the needle in regards to the nonprofit sector. And so therefore, after the age of 50, I realized one of my goals, and that was to lead a nonprofit here in the Twin Cities. But it was because I saw where I was at my best. I saw where I could lead. I saw where I could be the best communicator that organization's ever had. But it was because of probably, I don't know, 15 or 20 years of refining, learning about myself and how I was, where I was at my best and most impactful.
Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. And you can find him again at that telephone number, 763-438-1621. And we're talking about changing careers after age 50. And you mentioned goals. Do you think it's important as we try to make the change in our career to clearly communicate those goals to no one else but to ourselves so that we understand where we're going so that we can share that with the potential new career or new employer?
Yes, I think we need to have to understand where we want to go, and that's based upon those years of refinement from, you know, 20, 30 years and 40 and up. We understand where we want to go, so you want to set a goal. But also, if you just internalize the goal, Freddie, you may not realize that goal soon enough. And so even the step that I took was to write it down. So I created my own self-marketing plan that I shared with others. And I think taking that step of being A, vulnerable on why I wanted to make a change, but B, being very intentional by putting it on paper, Freddie, and then C, engaging with my bench of advocates, I was able to unearth the opportunities that I didn't even know were there. And that helped me. So yes, I had a goal, but I also made sure that other people knew what my goal was. And that was via my own self-marketing materials that I was sharing with others.
You mentioned casually your self-marketing plan. What goes into a self-marketing plan? And is that, it doesn't seem like that is common knowledge for everyone to have their own self-marketing plan. Is that something that you would be a proponent of?
Absolutely. We've at Ripple Connects, we've helped people write their self-marketing plan. Often we others see us differently than we see ourselves, and so we're able to facilitate that. And really, that's how you contend for jobs after the age of 50, particularly if you're changing careers. A self-marketing plan is very targeted to an audience that's going to be able to move that needle in regards to what you're trying to do. And I do think it's often overlooked, but I think I've seen many people that once they've adopted that type of mindset, that self-marketing, create more opportunities for themselves. I do think it works. I do think it's overlooked, but that's what, you know, Ripple Connects has come to specialize in. But I can speak firsthand, Freddie, because of my self-marketing documents that I had conversations with, that uncovered my current position where I'm at. And so I saw that impact that it had within 3 to 6 months. Those opportunities were starting to roll up because my own self-marketing plan was working.
Is that self-marketing plan something that you share with employers, and is that something, or is it something you keep to yourself? And the third part of that question is, what are the three key elements of a self-marketing plan?
Well, I shared with anybody that I thought could help move this along, move that had that ripple effect out to potential employers. I started with my own advocates. I didn't necessarily go right to an employer, but many of my advocates connected me to those employers to have conversations, preliminary conversations. And really the three key aspects of it from a Ripple Connect standpoint is, what are you asking for? What type of, and there's your goal. That's how you incorporate your goal. So I was talking about, I wanted to write the next great chapter of my life, and that is, you know, full-time employment in the nonprofit sector. So my clear ask to others was helpful. And that's a key point to a self-marketing plan, writing it down and sharing with others. And then two, the promise, or really, what are you going to deliver on? And really what I was saying was, I'll be, you know, as my nonprofit experience has honed my skills, I plan to be the next, I plan to be the best communicator your organization has ever had. Mm-hmm. And because of my leadership and because of my background in sales, I'm going to approach it differently than many people that you may be considering. And then finally, that third component of a self-marketing plan, Freddie, is action. If we do not have a call to action when we meet with our bench of advocates, and if it just stays there, what good is that self-marketing plan sitting in someone's desk? The action piece was future conversations, or that next layer of conversations. It's a simple document. It's a simple mindset, and it's a simple way to keep it top of mind for yourself as you self-market yourself and how you want to change careers. Internalizing it and not sharing is going to be a tough path to take if you want to change careers after 50, in my opinion.
Interesting. Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie this weekend, our co-host on New Beginnings, about changing careers after the age of 50. So it seems like we're talking about an overall self-awareness, be able to articulate that well and get that into a document that is not only good for ourselves, but is good for our bench of advocates, those folks who might help us to uncover that opportunity. And it also seems as if that this is also good because if we're close to age 50 or mid-50s, that the way that you look for an opportunity may have changed over time, Joe McKenzie.
It has. And yes, giving a roadmap or some actionable steps for your bench of advocates is key here, Freddie. If they do not know how to help you, they may not be able to help you. But if they know, they probably will. But trying to apply this to a traditional job search, meaning applying blindly online or interviewing with people that you don't know, going into larger settings that you don't have that, it may be difficult because you may be seen as, okay, you're going to try this career change. You're not. It's hard to gauge your intention about doing that. They may feel you're overqualified or require too much, you know, for compensation. They may feel that you may not even fit into an organization. So traditional job search in a career change, it can be difficult. It's not, obviously not impossible, but don't have that mindset as a 30-year-old applying to a job online and following that same path, think of it as really refining who you've become after the last 30 years and doing it differently. And that is, you know, self-marketing yourself, pulling your bench of advocates, explaining why you're doing it. And that's where I would start, because that will be probably a more meaningful way to uncover some of these opportunities versus, you know, feeling frustrated that no one understands why I want to go from this industry to that industry. But many of those people that are looking at your resume may not know who you are as a person. And you really need that to stand out, that experience, that knowledge, that leadership, that emotional intelligence that's going to allow you to make that change and write that next great chapter in your career.
Joe, we're out of time. You do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Hi, everybody. Before we step aside to go to our next segment on New Beginnings, it's always a pleasure. And we do want to let you know that we do enjoy bringing you the program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. If you'd like more information about any of the programs that you hear from our experts and our list of people who are directly involved in the work that we share with you at New Beginnings, we invite you to call me at 888-639-9738. Now, you didn't know that telephone number was going to come at you so quickly. Here's that number once again, 888-639-9738. Also, you can go to my webpage. It's simply Freddie Bell, FreddieBell, FreddieBell.com, and click on the radio page, and it'll take you to New Beginnings. And there you can find this week's program and programs actually for the last 5 years. You can find that information right there on our website, simply FreddieBell.com. Here's the telephone number again, 888-639-9738. There are many people like me who don't have a problem just picking up the telephone and calling. If you'd like to email me, it's simply Freddie@FreddieBell.com. F-R-E-D-D-I-E. Freddie@FreddieBell.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if there are topics that you'd like for us to discuss that you haven't heard yet on New Beginnings, we'd love to entertain that thought. Still to come, we have more great information for you as we continue our program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. Again, FreddieBell.com, the telephone number 888-639-9738. We always enjoy hearing from you, and thank you for making New Beginnings a point at listening each week. Right here.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. So glad you're with us this weekend, and I look forward to this time because we get a chance to talk about success and what we're doing to combat this horrible disease. I hope it's right to call it a disease, the COVID-19. And also with us right now to join in that conversation is Elizabeth Ebert. She is the Vaccine Outreach Director for COVID-19 Vaccine Equity and Engagement for the Minnesota Department of Health. And there is a new program really being administered by the Biden administration, Shots at the Shops. That's a great name. What does it mean?
Yes, thanks, Freddie. It is a great name, and it's a really great program. So the Biden administration has launched this partnership in conjunction with the Black Coalition Against COVID, as well as the University of Maryland and Shea Moisture, which I'm sure a lot of our listeners are familiar with, to really work with barbershops and stylists and salons across the country and empower them and provide them with some funding to provide their clientele with vaccine educational materials. So far, of the 330 registered shops across the country, we have 5 registered shops in Minnesota. So we really want to get that number up. We know that there are a lot of salons and barbershops with clientele that would benefit from this information. So you are able to register online for this program. If you look up shots at the shop online, selected shops are able to receive about $1,000 in a stipend to help them as far as participating in this initiative. So we'd really encourage any of your listeners who could benefit in this program and participate to do so.
Well, everybody, we're talking with Elizabeth Ebaut. She is the Vaccine Director, Outreach Director for the Minnesota Department of Health. We're talking about shots at the shops. Is everyone a salon owner or a barber? Is everyone eligible in the state of Minnesota?
They are eligible. There are a limited amount of participants in this program, so they are willing to take up to 1,000 shops. Like I mentioned, we're at 330 right now, so there is a lot of room for people to apply for this program. So I highly encourage, if you're interested, to do so.
What are the requirements to be a part of the program?
Really, it's just that you would be able to meet a specific need in your community and be able to provide this information to your clientele. You go online, you would just enter in your name, you enter in your business name, your type of business, your email, all your contact information, include information about how many employees you have, and that will then prompt a response back on how you can participate.
It's called Shots at the Shops. And what is the website at which our listeners can enroll in the program?
Sure. So if you go to https://form.jotform.com, you will pull up the exact registration for this COVID-19 vaccine Shots at the Shop initiative.
All right. We're talking with Elizabeth Ebaut. She is the Vaccine Outreach Director for the Minnesota Department of Health. And also there's another program called Your Shot the Summer. I love that word shot. I never thought that I'd like the word shot so much as I do these days.
I know, it's sort of the dominant word, but we are very excited about this program too, Your Shot to Summer. It's a vaccine incentive program that Governor Walz announced last month that will provide the first 100,000 Minnesotans who register age 12 and older who get their first dose of a vaccine between May 27th and June 30th. With an opportunity to get one of an assortment of different rewards like state park passes, fishing licenses, state fair tickets, or a Visa gift card. To participate, you just have to be 12 and older again, and you can request your reward either through our COVID-19 public hotline, which is at 833-431-2053 number, Monday through Saturday, or by going online to mn.gov/COVID-19/vaccine-rewards. And registration is open until 11:59 p.m. on June 30th, and we will fulfill all of the requests on a rolling basis through June and July. So long as you're getting your first shot between the 27th of May and the 30th of June, you are eligible for this program, and you're 12 and older, of course.
That's really exciting, and the young people are really bringing up the end. So what does it look like to reach that 70% here in the state of Minnesota by July 1st?
Sure. I mean, we are in a good place right now, right, with responding to the pandemic. We have over 66% of Minnesotans age 16 and older who have received at least one dose. And we know that still leaves more than 2 million unvaccinated Minnesotans, including our young children. And so to continue our efforts to reach these unvaccinated Minnesotans in all parts of the state, now, we've recently opened up vaccine locations at MSP Airport inside Terminal 1 for all ticketed passengers and outside of security in Terminal 2. We have these two locations that are joining our 8 other state-run vaccination sites that to date have offered more than 600,000 doses. We're working on other in-community vaccination sites and our mobile units that are operating every week with community partners and partnering with organizations from Stair Step Foundation to offering vaccines at Minneapolis Pride and our mobile units that are everywhere from the Wellstone Center in St. Paul all the way up to International Falls. So it's really an all hands on deck approach to reach that 70% threshold. And we're doing everything we can to get there.
And speaking of getting there, right now we're concerned, I know the nation is concerned, 47 states has this brand new variant of the COVID-19. Minnesota is one of those. Can you talk about this new variant and how difficult it is to combat? And will the vaccines that we have right now take care of it?
Sure. So I know this variant is top of mind everywhere. So far, we know that more than 40 cases of the Delta variant have been identified in Minnesota. But we also know that because of the work we've been doing and the participation of so many Minnesotans to get vaccinated, we are in a good place, like I mentioned, to protect ourselves against this more transmissible, more contagious variant. But obviously, that doesn't mean the disease is over. So far, what we're understanding from these studies are that vaccines are very effective. That's all three on the market here right now are very effective against this Delta variant. But that also underscores why it's so important for those who haven't been vaccinated to do so. We know that the majority of people, overwhelming majority of people who are experiencing serious COVID-19 illness are those who are unvaccinated. So getting vaccinated reduces the overall transmission of the disease. Therefore, it's going to reduce the chances of these mutations and variants. So the more Minnesotans who get vaccinated, the less likely it is for these variants to develop and spread, and we'll be able to exponentially suppress this disease, make it easier to suppress the disease.
Interesting. Dr. Nathan Chomolo talks about community immunity rather than herd immunity. How effective is community immunity, or do we need to go ahead and get vaccinated?
I certainly think that, you know, as we've been talking about for so long, you know, reaching these thresholds of vaccination. And at this point, you know, we're really just encouraging everyone who is left to be, who is left unvaccinated to go ahead and get vaccinated. Of course, we're hoping for this 70% threshold at the least, but really every single person that gets us closer to that and even surpasses that will make it that much easier to get a hold of this disease and feel more like we're back to that real normal that we've missed for so long.
Elizabeth, do you have a final thought for our Twin Cities audience this morning?
I do. I would just, again, we have so many opportunities near people, so much nearer than all of our original sites that we started off with vaccine. And I think the threshold for finding vaccines has gone down significantly. Now we're in such an abundance of them. So we just continue to urge you, if you have not already, do it for your friends, do it for your neighbors, our entire community, to do your part and get vaccinated so we can get back to being that community that's been out of reach for so long.
So well said. Elizabeth Ebalt, she is a vaccine outreach director for the COVID-19 Vaccine Equity and Engagement Program for the Minnesota Department of Health. And you're listening to New Beginnings.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and with us, it's time now to turn our attention to AARP and one of their esteemed volunteers, Laverne Gilliam. She is a AARP volunteer. She's talking about a really big event that's happening this year, the Andrus Award, and nominations are open. And Laverne Gilliam, what are some of the qualifications for this award?
Thank you, Freddie. First, nominees must be 50 years or older.
Mm-hmm.
The achievement, accomplishments, or service on which the nomination is based must have been performed on a volunteer basis without pay. Volunteers can receive a small stipend to cover the costs associated with the volunteer activity. The achievements, accomplishments, or service must reflect AARP's vision and purpose, and they must be based to be replicable and provide inspiration for others to volunteer.
Oh, my goodness. So is there a time limit? So must you have been a volunteer for 3 years, 5 years, 20 years to be eligible for the award?
No time limit, just that you have served your community in a volunteer capacity.
Wow. Everybody, we're talking with Laverne Gilliam, who's a AARP volunteer. And I must say that not just any other volunteer, you're a recent Andrus Award winner yourself.
Yes, I was honored with the selection last year. So surprised.
And it's especially special because you got that in a COVID-19 year as well.
Yes. I was very fortunate, Freddie. AARP allowed me to continue to do volunteer work during the pandemic by providing me with the tools so that I could volunteer remotely.
My goodness. Now, you've done some great volunteer work in the community, not only with AARP, but several other organizations. Can you talk about that work?
Yes. Most recently, I volunteered with BikeMN. I love the idea of an organization that is perpetuating biking instead of using cars all the time. So I've been supporting BikeMN in their efforts to get most of our communities to be more bike friendly, to create bike roads for bikers so that they can be in the street with the other drivers out there. And I've also volunteered with the Wildlife Refuge. I like the idea of helping people understand about nature. And the Wildlife Refuge is a wonderful place to visit in the middle of our city.
Well, is there a theme here? It seems as if you really love the outdoors, Laverne.
I love the outdoors, but what I really like is being able to help people recognize the importance of volunteering. I was blessed in that I was able to retire early, and so I can devote more time. But I want people to understand that even if you're still working, you can still help others. There are so many opportunities to volunteer, and you should always give back to your community.
Speaking of volunteering, everyone, we're talking with Laverne Gilliam, who's a AARP volunteer. She's talking about the Andrus Award. She was last year's award winner, so there's only one big winner. Can you talk about the benefits of volunteering itself?
It makes me feel good to help people. That's just my personality. But what I really understood during the pandemic was just how much people needed help. They didn't have the resources available to them, whether they did not have the internet capability or they had problems with their phones. And to me, to be able to help people find resources that could assist them, especially during the pandemic, just gave me a warm feeling.
Wow.
And I was able to help people across the country, not just locally.
That's pretty amazing. What would you say to someone who's sitting on the fence, Laverne? They're concerned about whether or not their volunteer time is going to be of any value.
I'm also a little bit selfish, Freddie. I think that you should get something from volunteering yourself. So whether you feel good about helping someone, whether you want to volunteer in a role that will provide you with something, such as volunteering with the jazz festival. People like to listen to jazz. So if you like to listen to jazz, volunteer to work that festival. And that way you can enjoy the event and still help people. So look at it from a selfish viewpoint sometimes. You know, some volunteer activities involve food. If you like to eat, volunteer for an organization that serves food to people.
I love it. I love it. When, if we're looking to nominate someone or nominate ourselves for this Andrus Award, what do we have to do and when is the deadline?
The deadline is July 15th, and you can go to aarp.org/mn to submit your nominee.
All right. What a great ambassador you are for AARP and also for volunteering. Can't thank you enough for being with us this morning on our program. And best of luck to the nominees. And thank you for your service to our community and the country.
Thank you so much, Freddie. It has been my pleasure.
The pleasure is ours. Thank you for being with us. And New Beginnings continues right now.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
Here's your host, Freddie Bell, as he welcomes career expert Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects.
Joe McKenzie, how can we avoid the myopic career search?
We can avoid the myopic job search by looking at your career, looking back, look at your marketable skills and your pattern of achievement, and bring those forward to see what's marketable today. And that will help you avoid the unimaginative, narrow-minded, short-sighted approach to a job search. Bring those attributes, those accomplishments forward, and I'm confident that you're going to find new opportunities out there that you may have never thought of.
For more information, how can we reach Joe McKenzie of Ripple Connects?
You can contact me directly at 763-438-1621. 763-438-1621. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Thank you so much for listening to New Beginnings. And right now we turn our attention to the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center and Kitty Harris, a property manager for that wonderful, wonderful facility. Kitty, good morning and welcome back to New Beginnings.
Good morning, Freddie. How are you?
Unbelievable. And I say the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center with so much gusto because now it's coming alive again from what I understand.
Yes, absolutely. Not only do we have our center partner alive and kicking that's in there, but Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center is happy to announce that we will be opening up our great room, our Amelia Battaglia great room, back to the community for the community members to come in and rent. And we know that is one thing that as we kind of semi get back to normal in society, people are looking for beautiful spaces to host their birthday parties, their baby showers, their graduation. It's graduation season, so they're open houses. So we're excited to be able to provide this service again for the community.
Wow, that has really been, once it's been shut down, you really realize how much of a hub that has been for the community.
Yes, we get calls all the time for people who are looking for space to rent, especially during COVID. One of the good things about our great room as a multi-purpose room is it's over 2,000 square feet. We have state-of-the-art audio-visual equipment in there. And since Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center is a green building, we already had that filtration system in place that a lot of companies are now scrambling to get due to COVID-19. And so we were already ahead of the game on that. And so it's definitely going to, I can see it now, the books are going to be filled and it'll be hard to get in because people are going to just be excited to have a safe and affordable place to come and gather with their loved ones and have free parking.
At its peak, how often was the great room in use?
Every day. At its peak, we had events in there every day, from our community events that we have Monday through Friday to our on the weekends. We had a church that was renting the facility continuously every Sunday, and then Saturday was those outside community members, a lot of our Northside residents coming over to utilize it for their personal events as well as for community programming.
Well, everyone, Kitty Harris, the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, is with us this weekend. And there's another monthly event coming. The LAO is really doing some great work in our community.
Yes, one of our newest partners, the LAO Assistance Center of Minnesota, has been, throughout this pandemic, hosting monthly breast cancer events for the community in partnership with Park Nicolet, having the mammogram mobile come over. And so we're having those at least once a month over at Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. We have them in other areas of the community, but specifically at our site, at least once a month, we are hosting them. So we are encouraging those women who desire to come and get their mammograms and get checked and get information to visit the LAO's website and schedule an appointment. They have one coming up here. July 17th is going to be the next one, I believe is the date, but they're every month. And so we really want to make sure that people utilize this because you can get these services done for free and they provide great food on these days as well as goodie bags with lots of information, but great giveaways as well.
So you do have to register in order to be at the event in July.
Yes, you do have to register whenever we have them, just so that they know how many technicians to have for the vans. And pre-COVID, you could just walk in. But now, since COVID-19, we do have to have registrations because there is a limited number of slots. And like I said, this is something that happens every month. So if you aren't able to get in July, look us back up August, September, October, through the rest of the year. We will be having these on-site at Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
All right, that's Kitty Harris. She is the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com. This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
Here's your host, Freddie Bell, as he welcomes career expert Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects.
Here's Joe McKenzie of Ripple Connects. How can you bring to light the hidden job market?
You bring the hidden job market by talking with the meaningful connections in your life and thinking critically about your network. The hidden job market is real. Up to 75% of positions filled today are unadvertised. And the best way to leverage the opportunities in that hidden job market is to talk to the people in your network. You paint a picture of what your next job looks like so they can be your eyes and ears to bring the hidden job market to you.
How can we reach you, Joe McKenzie?
You can contact me directly at 763-438-1621. 763-438-1621. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
And by that I mean, today's lesson is looking at what is unity today? Now, that may seem like a simple question. We may all have a lot of different opinions about that. But it's important from time to time, whether it's a relationship with someone you can't help falling in love with, whether it's an organization such as our church and a community, many different things. And of course, probably most in our mind this last year has been our nation, our democracy. You know, if I just ask you, what is democracy? Oh, you'll just answer right away, maybe not with a scholarly answer, but you'll say what it means to you. You're just absolutely sure of it. But my friends, we have seen in recent times, it's important for Americans to stop, as well as other nations around the world, and say, what does this really mean to us? And what are we willing to work to maintain? Is it precious enough? Is it important enough to us that we're willing to work for it? And in a smaller, more micro scale, I'd like us to think about what is unity today, both as a movement of hundreds of churches around the country and throughout the world, and as our own church. Does the unity idea mean enough to you that you're willing to work for it, that you're willing to constantly, perhaps annually, recreate it for yourself, rediscover it? Now, the mood that Adam created here reminded me, we're going to look back a little bit, because if you don't look back at your roots, how do you know what you stand for? And that's true in unity as well. And I was thinking back in the mid-1920s in Kansas City, occasionally Myrtle Fillmore would come on Unity's radio station WOQ. Often it was Charles, because Charles liked to talk. Myrtle was more interested in prayer and working with people one-on-one, but she would go on the air at certain times, but she'd keep it very personal. And she'd say, dear friend. And she was speaking, as experts think, to an audience of about 100,000 in the Kansas City area that were listening to WOQ. And she'd say, dear friend, I'd like to come in right now and give you a hug, if it could. I think she might have sung this melody, I can't help loving you, if it had been written in her day. Because she wanted that connection with people. Now, she had a very fundamental reason. Because it was her conviction through her own healing experience that birthed the unity movement 132 years ago, that presence of life that she cherished within herself, and she knew it had healed her of the tuberculosis that had plagued her, and the doctors giving her but 6 months to live. Find someone to take care of your family, especially your children, because you're not going to be here much longer. She had been up to the very edge in her life. And she discovered this power within, and she praised the life that brought her into this world. And she knew it was life's desire to heal her. She had her healing. And then she realized, how can I but not share this with others? Not in the sense of telling them what to do, but sharing her story, her experience. And she wouldn't pray for them. She would say, as Yvette does, how may I pray with you? The slogan of Silent Unity. I want to join you and be with you as we affirm the truth of God in your life. The power that is your help for every situation. So Myrtle, I believed, carried that song in her heart. I can't help loving you, because she knew the truth. How could she love that God within her that brought forth her healing and not see it active in others? Well, I made notes. I guess I ought to look at them. What is unity today? What does it mean to you? I want you to think about it, not just during this lesson, but also think about it throughout this coming week, at least. It deserves at least that much time to reflect on it. Now, for some people, from my experience, unity means oneness or connection with everyone. For some people, unity means a positive outlook on life, trying to see the good, the best, and bring it into expression. For some people, unity means a teaching in which all religious paths are honored, for they all lead to God. For others, unity is a spiritual community where you are welcomed, respected, and empowered to be your true and highest self. Again, I ask, what does unity mean to you? So before we can consider what is unity today, we might look back 132 years ago and see how it got started. Just the gist of it. Not great detail, so everybody relax. But the Fillmores wrote in that first issue of Unity magazine in 1891 the following. And they didn't put a byline on it. I suspect that it's Charles, but Myrtle could be pretty intense in her speaking for truth as well. But sometimes they came across with almost a fanatical style, because what they were presenting was quite a new thought in their day. And so they wrote this in the opening of Unity magazine. A very little common sense will show you that you are sustained body and soul by that invisible cause which ever wells up in you and will always manifest as the silent builder when you heed its monition. Be still and know that I am God.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.